This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
This is a very different Pagliacci. Everybody says, oh, it's the opera about clowns. This is not an opera about clowns.
Come on down.
It's about people. And it's about people at a very serious place in their lives. It's a great opera, full of wonderful music. There's no doubt about it, and you know the story itself is wonderful. And you know the fact that Leon Cavallo was able to write such a tight libretto is extraordinary at his age. But he does offer you the opportunity for so much more. When I was talking to Frank Porretta, who's done the role quite a lot, Canio, he said this is the first time he's played it as dark as this. The more I've done it, the darker a story I think it is. And we need to show this. We need to think about the background, what went on before the curtain goes up.
Don't play this joke with me. Which is ironic because they are in this case.
The backstory is not something that's necessarily going to get over the footlights, but it helps inform the performers as to the nuance of what they're doing and the stress and structure of the relationships between them. In this particular production, Canio was a young theatrical phenom. He was up and coming, and for some reason it didn't work. And he didn't make the big time. But he achieved enough fame that, you know, the towns in the area, they all know who he is, and he's the big deal, the big fish in the small pond. And over time, he's been able to gather a troupe of performers with him. He was a good guy. Took in people that he wouldn't necessarily get hired. Tonio's, you know, a hunchback with a limp, and I'm sure it was hard for him to find work as a clown. And so even not having made it, he still continued to try to do good things and keep things going, and it doesn't stay that way. As things go along, his fame begins to tarnish. He's, you know, fewer people know him as he goes along. His young protégés, Nedda and Beppe, are probably getting more of the attention from the audiences now for what's delivered on the stage, and he has become sort of a yellowing figurehead in the production. And again, that's about where we come in. He's turned to drink, and that, I think, facilitates his fall from grace.
As the listener listens, they can really understand the character of Canio and his anger and his disappointment and his feeling of rejection at the same time that he has to put on a happy face. I mean, how tragic is that? That you have to smile and force that smile to entertain so that you can put some money in your pocket, but deep down in behind that smiling face, you are just torn to shreds.
Don't get me wrong. It's thrilling to sing Vesti la Giubba. But I love the second aria, Pagliaccio non son, because he swings through a real gamut of emotions. He begins raging. And then second verse of that aria, he begins to realize the love that he felt for Nedda, and he's saying, telling her, with this crazy love I took you in. And then the whole thing spins around, and he sits down and begins to reminisce. So much fun. But then sours again and turns around, throws her on the ground. It's just the track that you run in that is just emotionally really interesting and gives the performer a lot of room to get into it, take a big bite of it.
She had feelings for him, like maybe like a father, like a, you know, like a parent, but I don't think love. At the beginning, he was nice and he was good and everything was fine, but then he started to drink and no success anymore, or maybe not as much as he would have dreamed of. She becomes probably the number one or the one who makes people laugh and be, you know, happy, and he's brutal, he drinks, he beats her, she has a terrible life. Of course, Nedda, in this artist's family, is the only woman. Everyone wants a little bit of her. Canio says, is my wife. Pepe wants something from her, too. Maybe, I don't know, maybe he's also, he's very young, maybe he's also in love with her. Tonio also. Silvio wants something for, everybody wants something from her. Maybe other men from the public also. So she's at a certain moment, she's pushed at, you know, against the wall. She decides to go with Silvio, but I'm sure that if he would push more or if we would do a wrong step, she would leave him too, because she cannot have this, you know.
Silvio is a villager. We're playing him quite young, particularly compared to the members of the troupe. So he hasn't seen nearly as much of the world. He hasn't seen as much of life. And so when this troupe comes through town, of course, this being in the pre-broadcasting, pre-internet days, you know, this is the event of the year for them. And he's completely struck at lucky. He's got a thing going with the lead actress of it. So for him, this is a dream come true. So this makes this relationship with Nedda very significant for him.
Thank you.
it's hormone driven. But when you're that age, when you're in that post-adolescent zone, you don't distinguish. And this is one of the distinguishing elements of being post-adolescent, is you can't distinguish between your hormones and your emotions. And so in his case, he's, it's 100% hormones, but he's interpreting that as, you know, oh God, the heavens are opening up and the universe is meant for us to be together and this has to last forever. And there's also this longing for security. There's this longing to nail it down, you know, to, you know, put a ring on it, so to speak.
She's just terribly in love with him, but she realizes in the same time that it is not as easy as he thinks. You know, he thinks we just go away. Well, you don't love him, very clear. You don't want to be to live in this fear and in this tension. Let's just go. Very simple for him. She sees right through the whole story, the whole thing. She knows that it's not so easy.
And I think your response to that is not good, because, I mean, it's like a slap in the face.
Yeah, this is some delirium.
Yeah, this is, for me, this is real life.
Yeah.
You're a celebrity.
Being a baritone, I don't get to do many love scenes in general. I don't play many characters whose main through line is that they fall in love or they have some sort of relationship.
I think one of the things that distinguishes this particular opera is not only that full-bloodied side, but it's also the very intimate moments. And the intimate moments are absolutely astonishing.
At the very, very end of the duet, Nedda and I, we've had all this build-up and this back and forth, and, oh, you don't love me, oh, yes, I do, well, then why don't you leave with me? Well, I can't leave with you. Oh, okay, I guess I'll go ahead and leave with you. And you've got all of this back and forth, and then finally it resolves. We're going to leave. We're going to go away together. And there's this moment when the duet goes from all these really sweeping, intense, very fiery, verissimo Italianate vocal lines the orchestra like drops out to nothing, and we're singing to one another in very, very simple thirds in a whisper. And as we're doing that, we're coming closer and closer together, and we're kneeling down, and I lay her down very gently on the floor as we're singing to one another, yes, I love you, I love you, I love you.
The most apparent aspect of his character is that he's physically deformed. He is a tortured soul, a fellow who makes a living being laughed at. And it's a contradiction for him, because it's a job, it's a place that he can work, eat, sleep, and perform, but the reason for that job is his physical appearance, and so he's constantly the butt of jokes. He's, I think, very pleased to have a family of some sort because he didn't have anything before. But the reason for it digs at him and eats at him on a daily basis. I think the breaking point comes when he offers himself to Nedda and confesses his love, makes himself completely vulnerable to her, and she laughs at him.
It becomes too much.
But it's sad and pathetic, really, too, that Tonio does this. Really?
Yeah.
If I was sitting here watching it thinking, what were you thinking, dude? You really think you can get that check?
What do you think? Well, you really think you're going to get that check?
You let your heart out and you opened yourself up. You didn't think that was going to happen? Years
ago. And she was the nicest to him originally. You know, throughout their time together, Canio has, you know, steadily gotten worse. His alcoholism has gotten worse, making him more depressed, making him more violent. And that has become more depressed by that also. So everything's sort of going downhill, and I see my chance in the middle of the opera where we start our duet together to confess my love for her. And I say, I know that I elicit scorn and horror, but I have dreams and thoughts and feelings just like anyone. And of course, what happens? He's laughed at. And he loses it. And essentially says, no, I'm going to say right now, I'm not going to be put off anymore, and I love you, and I'm going to get a kiss before I leave. And he essentially assaults her, which is his own fault. So then what his choice there is a bad one.
I think she just doesn't expect this. I'm sure she knows that he has feelings for her, but she doesn't realize that there are those kind of feelings.
I actually think the laughter absolutely drives him past the point of any sort of reconciliation to his character or to his relationship in the family of the troupe.
What is your first thing that you sing?
Hey!
Good. Now, can you say that with a bit more excitement?
Yeah.
Hey!
That's what I was asking them to do the other night.
It's always all about people. I have to do what they call Personenregie in Germany, people direction. And make it clear who the people are, what their relationships are.
This is going better than Tonio could ever have hoped. He's going to disgrace himself in public. They're having a huge fight. He's destroying himself. But he gets so carried away with the idea of revenge that he puts the knife in Canio's hand and says, go on, kill her. Kill her now.
We have to look at all these things and work out where we make the psychological journey, where things happen, where the character sort of flips over. And there are wonderful moments, even in the Commedia, where, you know, it becomes very violent. And Leoncavallo just gives you that moment for Nedda, for instance, to recover enough to try and get the show back on the rails.
Thank you.
Very nice. You could see it around. And then go for your popsicles or your juice or whatever.
I'm putting a lot more chorus detail into this Pagliacci, probably, than I've done before.
Be creative, OK? Because I want this image to come to you. I already mentioned Lois as the person, you Kanye a while ago, Silvio's family. But I want you to create your own characters. Look, hello, they're coming. Look, they're back. Come on. Fill the stage.
These details of the chorus, I think, really start to help the whole picture of the show.
Stop and have conversations with people. Yeah. And then move back, go and find somebody else. Somebody gets up from one of their chairs, somebody else.
The chorus is used in a very complicated way. There's a lot of fugal moments. That is, there's a voice that comes in, and another one that comes in. And that creates, of course, the impression that the crowd is interspersed and that these different shouts and screams are coming out from different parts of the stage, while, in fact, they're actually coming from sopranos on one side and tenors on the other. But that kind of fugal writing, if you wish, of contrapuntal use of the chorus is very complex. And he weaves that together with a very complex orchestration, which is also very contrapuntal in that sense. He does create characters out of the chorus, which is very nice. But where it changes is where the chorus at the end starts to realize that this thing is for real. And then you get a different treatment of the chorus, the choral writing. And then they start to sing more en masse together as well. The conductor's job is not just to do the music, and the director's job is not just to do the staging. If you want to create something and put on something on stage which is truly unified from a musical, dramatic point of view, which is what opera is all about, you've got to have that dialogue with the director and with the singers. So I think some of you who were there at the during the rehearsal process saw that there were sometimes moments where we completely disagreed about what the character is thinking about, what they're going to do, and how to interpret certain lines of text.
Now I get this, why you said non mi tentar.
But I don't feel like we've gotten there to then have the adagio after that, which is completely the...
All right, we'll try it, but you have to tell them, because I don't agree with what we're going to try and do.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. Yeah. But so, you know, let's do it, and we'll see, you know, because it may work really well for me.
A struggle, if you will, has to happen in order for the singers to be clear as to how they're going to sing every one of their phrases, all their music. And I think as a conductor, you got to meddle in that pie and stir it around and find out what it is that will make the show as strong as possible and as unified as possible.
It almost becomes like a Canio character, mm-hmm. but young, you know, mm-hmm. in embryo. Mm-hmm. And no, not mommy is almost the violence that we're going to see.
Let's try it.
So you want
I'm hearing that from the orchestra.
Isn't that what's going on in him?
The final line of La Commedia Finita, when I first did it in Singapore, Canio sang it. And then I discovered that it was originally given to Tonio.
brings a little full circle to give Tonio, as he is the through character and sort of drives the action in the drama, gives him the final say, as he has the initial say when he starts the show with Si Può, Si Può. So it's sort of a nice completion of the circle.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.